Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Papa John's second quarter 2014 conference call and webcast. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Lance Tucker, Chief Financial Officer. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Candice. Good morning. With me on the call today are our Founder, Chairman, CEO, and President, John Schnatter, COO Steve Ritchie, CMO Bob Kraut, and other members of our senior management team. After a brief financial update, John and Steve will have comments about our business, and the management team will then be available for Q&A. Our discussion today will contain forward-looking statements that involve risks related to future events. Actual events may differ materially from the projections discussed today. All forward-looking statements should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our earnings press release and the risk factors included in our SEC filings. All statements made on this call are as of today. Please refer to our earnings release and the investor relations section of our website for reconciliation and other disclosures related to our discussion of non-GAAP financial measures on this call. Unless otherwise noted, all comparisons are versus the comparable periods from a year ago. This call is being taped, and the replay will be available for a limited time on our website and in downloadable podcast format. Now, on to a discussion of our second quarter operating results. Our second quarter revenues increased 9% versus the second quarter of 2013. Driving the increase were continued strong comp sales of 6% for North America and 8.6% for international, as well as a 5.5% increase in the number of units operating globally on a year-over-year basis. The higher North American franchise restaurant sales and increased unit count also drove PJ Foodservice revenues, as did higher commodity prices. We opened 47 net global units in the second quarter, with 42 net international opens and five net North America opens. On a business segment basis, operating income for domestic company-owned restaurants was up $2.5 million in the second quarter. Incremental profits from our 7.5% comps were partially offset by the impact of higher commodity prices. Operating income for the North America franchising segment increased approximately $500,000 in the second quarter, due primarily to the increase in net units and comparable sales of 5.4%. Operating income for our domestic commissary segment decreased by approximately $2.8 million in the second quarter, due primarily to lower gross margins, unfavorable insurance claims, and costs associated with other commissary initiatives. As a reminder, cheese prices have a fixed dollar markup to our restaurants. We expect the commissary pre-tax margin percentage to approximate 2013 margins on a full year basis. Operating results for our international segment increased approximately $1 million in the second quarter, due primarily to 8.6% comps and a higher number of units on a year-over-year basis. Financial results in our corporate-owned North China market are not improving at the pace we had projected entering 2014, and we currently project profitability in North China to be relatively flat with 2013, excluding the impact of one-time items that impacted the fourth quarter of 2013. However, the strength of our overall international portfolio continues to more than offset this shortfall and provide good overall growth. We will continue to address our challenges in North China as we believe in the long-term opportunity in this market. The All Other segment decreased $1.6 million due primarily to higher infrastructure costs to support our digital ordering business and lower margins at our print and promotions business versus the prior year. Our effective tax rate was 32% in the second quarter, down slightly from the prior year. Diluted EPS for the second quarter was $0.40, up 3%. The market share we are gaining through our strong sales bodes well for higher earnings growth once commodities return to more normalized levels. With 2014 commodities projected to remain high, however, we expect full-year pre-tax margins to be slightly lower than 2013. We repurchased approximately $30.5 million of stock during the second quarter, the company has approximately $50 million of remaining share repurchase authorization. Our free cash flow, a non-GAAP measure we define as cash flow from operations less capital expenditures, was approximately $57 million for the trailing 12-month period. Our net debt position, defined as total debt less cash and cash equivalents, was approximately $190 million at the end of the second quarter. As announced on August 1st, the company also raised its regular annual dividend by 12% to 56 cents per share. The rollout of Focus, our new POS system, is progressing, and we expect the majority of the units to be installed by year-end. From a financial statement perspective, Focus costs reduced diluted EPS by a little bit over a penny in the second quarter versus the second quarter of 2013. Finally, the company reaffirms its previously announced 2014 full-year diluted EPS guidance in a range of $1.64 to $1.72. However, several guidance items are updated, including North America comp sales raised to a range of 4 to 6%, international comp sales raised to a range of 6 to 8%, consolidated revenues raised to a range of 8 to 10%, and global net unit growth is revised to a range of 220 to 235 from a range of 220 to 250. As noted in the prior conference call, we expect to be near the low end of our original guidance range, so we reduce the top end of the range in this update. The mix of international units will be roughly 80% of the total global net new units. And now I'd like to turn the call over to our founder, chairman, CEO, and president, John Schnatter. John?
Thanks, Lance. Good morning to everyone. We're glad you're able to be with us on the call this morning as we discuss our second quarter results. As you just heard, we posted another tremendous quarter, and I couldn't be prouder of our franchisees and our operators around the world who continue to execute the fundamentals and deliver on the better ingredients, better pizza brand promise each and every day. As you can imagine, we are very pleased with our performance, not only in the second quarter, but through the first half of the 2014 year. 6% North America comp sales in Q2, coming off a 9.6% Q1 comp, is a clear indication that the consumer continues to prefer a better quality pizza. Those numbers also further validate that our strategies, which continue to focus on the consumer by delivering a better pizza through a better ordering experience, are fundamentally sound. In short, from our quality to our digital capabilities to our new marketing creative, we are firing on all cylinders right now, and we have generated a lot of momentum that continues to lead to increased sales and increased market share. But remember, it all starts with quality, and our consistent focus on it continues to resonate with the consumers. During the quarter, for the 13th time in the past 15 years, consumers recognized us as a leader in customer satisfaction by rating Papa John's number one in the American Customer Satisfaction Index survey. And just 2 weeks ago, Papa John's was named the top brand by the Lando Brand Asset, which uses thousands and thousands of consumer interviews covering things like a brand's relevance, differentiation, and esteem to determine its rankings. These types of recognition are humbling, and it helps us stay laser-focused on meeting the high expectations that our customers have placed on the Papa John's brand. Just as our quality leadership positioning continues to help us gain market share, so too does our digital leadership position. 13 years after we were the first national pizza company to offer nationwide online interactions, we continue to set the pace in the digital arena. During the quarter, our domestic digital sales continue to climb to well over 45%, on the verge of being the first national pizza chain to achieve a domestic system-wide digital sales mix of over 50%. Additionally, during the quarter, nearly 60% of all domestic delivery sales, 60% came through our digital channels, which, just like Q1, continues to be another pizza-leading technology indicator for Papa John's International. Now, turning to our marketing, during the quarter, we worked with our new agency, Gray, to launch a new advertising creative to promote our Greek pizza. The advertising, which has positive reception from our system and our consumers, helped drive the excellent performance of the Greek pizza. Coming off a very strong 2013, Some wondered why we would make a change in the direction of our advertising. Well, sometimes you have to have the courage and the foresight to recognize the opportunity to take something that's really good and make it really, really better. And I think we've accomplished just that. Our new creative and strategy has elevated the brand and has taken something that was pretty darn good to a new level. Next, I'd like to briefly comment on our international business, which overall continues to perform very well. Our franchisees throughout the world continue to win by focusing on product quality and running their restaurants the Papa John's way. And finally, with all the success we've had, Papa John's has become a company of constant team member advancement and opportunities, a people growing machine, if you will. Over the past quarter, we have made 10 management changes with 9 leadership promotions, including the promotion of Steve Ritchie to COO. Now, Steve started out as a driver at $4.50 an hour more than 18 years ago and working his way up as Director of Operations and then Vice President of Global Operations Support and Training to now COO. Steve is the ideal individual to lead Papa John's to its next stage of growth and is a great example of the opportunities Papa John's is able to provide for hundreds and hundreds of hardworking team members who put dignity in their work. As important, Steve has earned the trust and respect of his peers, the Papa John's Board of Directors, his team members, and our franchisees, and I look forward to work closely with him to grow our brand around the world. And with that, I'll turn it over to our Chief Operating Officer, Steve Ritchie, for his remarks. Steve?
All right. Thanks, John. And I'll start by adding my congratulations to our franchisees and operators around the world for another outstanding quarter. We preach the fundamentals day in and day out, and it's very satisfying to see how well our system can perform when we execute at a high level. The fundamentals are in large part what has enabled Papa John's to win in the face of what continues to be an aggressive pricing and promotional environment in our category. Our promotional strategy employs a comprehensive approach that strikes a local to national balance between value-driven consumer offers and the premium we are able to maintain given our quality brand positioning. That strategy, once again, drove strong comp sales growth during the quarter both in North America and internationally, as it has steadily and consistently over the years. Our continued focus to enhance the customer experience remains a key driver of our strong global growth. That strong, steady growth has always been a winning formula for us, and is how we will continue to win in the future by avoiding the highs and lows and delivering steady and sustainable sales growth over time. Another piece to that winning formula is technology. As John noted, technology continues to be an area that is a prime factor in growing our sales and market share. Beyond being the category leader in digital sales percentage, we continue to separate ourselves from the competition with our Papa Rewards loyalty program. Not only were we the first to launch a loyalty program in 2010, today we remain the only national pizza company to thank and reward its customers for their loyalty with free pizza. And Papa Rewards has proven to be very popular with consumers. Just how popular is Papa Rewards? Well, the best way to determine that is to simply ask consumers, which is exactly what Bond Brand Loyalty, one of the recognized leaders in loyalty marketing, did recently in its annual loyalty survey of 6,000 consumers. In the survey, Papa Rewards took the top spot in dining QSR as the favorite loyalty program, beating Starbucks, which was ranked second among many others. As exciting as our top overall ranking is, we are equally proud of the fact that one of the key drivers of our top ranking was brand affinity. Survey respondents said they were proud to be Papa Rewards members, compared to some other categories where the amount of financial and product rewards was the primary driver. We believe this is a testament to Papa John's being the strongest brand in the category. One final note on technology. During the quarter, we also continued the rollout of our new point-of-sale system that began in Q1. We continue to expect the new system, which we call Focus, to have a positive impact on store-level operations and the overall customer experience. Next, I'd like to briefly comment on our development progress. As Lance mentioned, during the quarter, we opened 47 net global units. Our global development pipeline remains very robust, with about 1,200 restaurants scheduled to open globally over the next 6 years. We continue to receive strong interest from prospective franchisees around the world, and we are very pleased with the tremendous opportunity we have to grow the Papa John's brand. Turning to our international business, we are very pleased with the comp sales increase of 8.6 for the quarter. We continue to perform very well in most parts of the world, most notably in the UK, Russia, and throughout the Middle East and Latin America. Our quality positioning in these markets and most of the other markets around the world continues to resonate with consumers. For how unique various parts of the world can be, one thing remains very consistent. Consumers around the globe simply prefer a better quality pizza. As Lance mentioned, however, we still have opportunities for improvement in our corporate-owned China units in China. We are tackling those opportunities head-on, from an operations to marketing, and expect our efforts to have a positive impact in the near future. In fact, just last week, we announced a partnership deal where Papa John's is the official pizza sponsor of the Guan Football Club in Beijing. While it is very early, we are pleased with the reaction from their fans and are optimistic this partnership can help increase brand awareness and sales in the Beijing market. So, we continue to remain bullish on the long-term prospects of China and our entire international business. I'll close by saying overall, I'm very proud of what we accomplished in the second quarter and the first half of the year. Our talented and dedicated franchisees, operators, and team members remain committed to delivering on our better ingredients, better pizza, brand promise, which makes us optimistic about the long-term health of the Papa John's brand. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Lance for questions.
Thanks, Steve. Candace, I think we're ready for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star and then the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Once again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star and then the number one key. And our first question comes from the line of Alex Flagel of Jefferies. Your line is now open.
Thanks. I had a question on international. I wonder if you could expand on your comments on the headwinds and the opportunities in China and any comments on the issues taking place in that country with the supplier OSI, if you're impacted in any way related to that.
Alex, this is John. I'll kind of hit it at a high level and turn it over to Steve or Lance for some color. Beijing was slightly positive last week. South China and Shanghai were slightly negative, so we're getting through it okay. It's something you don't want to have happen. But the good news is we don't have a lot of exposure in China yet. With that being said, we need to figure China out a little better. I think we need to do a better job.
Yeah, Alex, it's Steve. I'll comment just holistically first. So got about 210 stores now in China. The predominant amount of that, as you well know, is our franchisee in China, Eternal Rise, that over 150 stores. We've been very pleased with their progress. You know, they've done a very nice job in terms of the comp sales growth and the unit growth. So been very pleased with the franchise China performance. Our corporate-owned stores in Beijing, as Lance alluded to and I did as well, and John, we had opportunistic growth forecast for 2014. We are slightly behind that performance, so it's a testing ground for us, our Beijing corporate-owned restaurants. So as we continue to learn, you know, the good part of that is that's what's going to drive the learning overall for us, specifically within Asia, long term. So I think pleased with the unit economic side of it, but we've got opportunities from a sales standpoint in our corporate-owned China business. On the OSI question, Alex. You know, first I'd like to reiterate, you know, food safety and quality and the integrity of our ingredients remains top priority for Papa John's. And obviously we want to say and do what we say in terms of better ingredients, better pizza, and our slogan. And we live and breathe that every day around here. OSI was a supplier for us, but it was a contingency supplier. Really only had it, we had it five restaurants in test. So it was not a primary supplier. So, you know, within 24 hours, we were able to remove the product from the restaurants, had no impact to our menu, and went back to our primary suppliers. So slight impact to sales. We've been continuing to monitor that, but no material impact on our consolidated full-year results.
Okay. And then a quick question just on the U.S. commissary profits weighing on the overall margins this quarter. I know you talk about the strategy for managing this profit on an annual basis, but might be helpful if you could provide a little more perspective on why this quarter was so weak from a margin perspective, if there's anything unusual beyond the insurance claims or anything else one time in nature that maybe shifts to another quarter later on.
Alex, this is John. In theory, my two direct reports are the consumer. I mean, the product and service are not good. It's all me. And the food service. And the relationship we have with our operators and our franchisees is paramount to me as far as discipline and honor. And most companies start out with a franchise system, and then they take advantage of the system and they lose it. We've never done that, and we won't do that. So let me put the context of what happened with food service in Q2. Q2 of 13 was actually a little stronger than it was supposed to be, so it kind of made Q2 of 14 look a little weaker. That's easily rectified in Q3 and Q4 this year because we will make our margin, as Lance pointed out, for the full year. And furthermore, we're bringing in our drivers and our transportation in-house. And, there's some costs there that we anticipated, but we probably underestimated a little bit. With that being said, we now have an excess of drivers, and we're doing a lot better job with our service times and our accuracy. So it hurt us a little bit in the quarter. I think we do need to look at a remedy to maybe smooth that out. We're meeting with our FAC next week, and because the street gets a little nervous when things bounce around, even though it'll smooth out for the year. But I'll let Lance kind of or Steve tackle how we might want to remedy this in the future because it does have bad optics. But it's a captive audience. It's very easy to fix.
Yeah, Alex, this is Lance. So I'll jump in just real briefly here. As John noted, one of the important things to us, we always want to manage that franchisee relationship and do it appropriately. What we are going to do, though, we recognize our process makes it hard to reliably predict what the numbers are going to be for food service. So we're going to explore some options that may allow us to do some pricing more frequently. So we'll have more to come on this the next time we talk, but we're certainly going to explore, is there a way to meet both goals and make it a little less volatile while at the same time making sure we're doing what we committed to do with our franchisees.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of David Carlson of KeyBank. Your line is now open.
Hey, guys. Hope everyone's well. John, I had a question for you, and then I had a follow-up question. With respect to the Focus rollout, I was hoping you could discuss some of the features of the new point-of-sale system and maybe some of the ways that the new system can help provide a better guest experience. I think that was alluded to by Steve earlier in the call. Then also, I know you guys said that you plan on having rolled out to most of the system by the end of 2014. I was wondering if you could tell us what the percentage you currently have it in right now and what the percentage you expect to have it in the North American system by the end of 14.
Yes, Dave, this is John. I'll give you the best I got and then turn it over to the experts here. The focus is at about 840 restaurants. We hope to finish this Q3. With between 1,300 and 1,600 restaurants, and we've been very consistent that until we get through Q3 and we feel like we got our arms around this deployment, because when you're doing 15 or 20 computers a day, there's some hard costs that Lance noted, but there's also some soft, tangible costs because you're putting a lot of labor and a lot of resources towards this rollout. So, we did this back in 95 and 96. Cynthia Kelly and her team are just doing an outstanding job. This is much smoother. We're 8 periods through the year. Our 168 EPS, as I've said, is the bottom, so we've tried to stick to that, and then hopefully we'll get through Q3 and have at least half the system rolled out. We'll have, by then, 9 periods under our belt. And we can get back to really the main thing, and that's driving shareholder value. As far as the thing that I like, difference between the old system and the new Focus system is I can actually do Focus. It's kind of like relating the Razor phone to the iPhone. The training is a lot quicker. The new team members adapt to it. The people that have been on Profit for, you know, years and years, they adapt to it rather quickly. And all in all, it is a disruption, but the feedback we're getting is extremely positive. And I'm very excited about this, frankly. I just want to get it rolled out. This is our headwind for 2014. We've known that. We've said that. With that being said, I think we're doing quite well getting through it. Lance or Cynthia?
Yeah. Hey, David. It's Steve. I'll cover maybe a couple more things to get to some specifics. I think let's talk about the priorities first. And with any technology initiatives, whether that's an online initiative or an offline in-the-box initiative, our priorities are to enhance the customer experience. So, I mean, that's our number one goal with this. But there are a number of things on the specific side to what John was alluding to. We've had the current POS system in the restaurants for 18 years, so we are upgrading all the hardware. So order entry is the first key to improve speed and accuracy, which, again, back to the customer experience. What we've also added is a state-of-the-art, I've talked about this before, graphical driver dispatch system, which uses GPS technology to improve speed of service at the door. That comes with features in terms of suggestive routing and other things that are really industry-specific to Papa John's and really puts it at a competitive advantage. The other is labor management. So we've added a labor management system that really takes us to the next level. Those are things not only on the customer experience side, but those are things that as we look into 2015 to drive efficiencies in the box and to see additional labor leverage like we saw in Q2 on the line for our corporate restaurants and drive efficiencies for our franchisees. And then lastly, back to the hardware side as well, we've added biometrics. That biometrics will help with loss prevention and also drive accuracies in the way that we measure our business. So a number of things that we look to pick up from the Focus POS system, David. However, it is still very early on. We're in a transitional phase in 2014, and we look to really see the benefits as we move into 2015.
And, Dave, this is Lance. Just on the numbers very quickly, as Steve and John have noted, we are, pretty well on track here. So we do have the numbers embedded within our guidance, which is about an 8-cent overall hit to the year versus last year for Focus. And John kind of referenced the midpoint of our guidance there, that Focus is, in fact, included in our guidance of 164 to 172, and that number has not changed since the beginning of the year.
Perfect. And then just one follow-up on the conversation about the domestic commissary business. I'm guessing that when in the filing you guys were talking about some of the ongoing initiatives of the domestic commissary, I'm assuming that means bringing the drivers in-house that you alluded to a few minutes ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, Dave, this is Lance. That is, in fact, correct. That's easily the biggest part.
Okay. And what do you see in terms of continuation of that? And I just wanted to make sure that I heard you correctly. Your expectation is for the profit dollar to be roughly in line with last year, not the margin percentage, correct?
Oh, it's actually the margin percentage, Dave, not the profit dollars necessarily. We manage the business to an agreed-upon margin with our franchisees. We always have. And so what we'll be doing is managing to that overall full-year percentage.
And, Dave, this is John. The franchisees want that profit margin to be less. The shareholders want it to be higher. So there's a constant dynamic there of that dynamic tension. So if you look at the money we have invested in the commissary, it's about a 30% return, and we think that's a healthy return, and we don't want to mess up a good thing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star and then the number one key. And our next question comes from the line of Mark Smith of Fettel & Company. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Can you give us any breakdown on ticket versus traffic and if you still feel like you're able to get premium prices on, especially on some of your limited time offers?
Yeah, I'll start, Mark. It's Steve. And I think, first of all, I'd say obviously we haven't given specifics on traffic or ticket. What I can say in 2014, if you look at our 2013 through the first couple of quarters, you would notice from a national pricing standpoint, we have had a slight increase, so you're going to see a little bit more coming from the ticket side than the traffic side in 2014. But we also, you know, complementing the ticket is the product mix. You know, we've done some things, if you saw in the fourth quarter of last year, in a continuation of side items, specifically our chocolate chip cookie. It's performed very, very well for us, so those things are complementing to ticket. And we've also looked at some shallow of discounting, as we've got a very balanced, comprehensive approach from our national marketing to our local that provides flexibilities for our franchisees. So that kind of talks through, you know, how we're able to really leverage and drive the margins that we were able to drive, as you saw our corporate segment. Maybe I'll let Bob Kraut speak to some of the promotional pieces or to add on to that.
Yes, this is Bob. I think our calendar process that we have instituted this year has complemented this pricing strategy very well. We've had some very, very high-performing new limited-time offers. Of course, you know the history of the cookie, which has been a strong performer for us. We also, in the P2, P3, we had a very strong LTO performer priced at $12, which was our double cheeseburger pizza, followed by a double pepperoni and bacon. And then the Greek came in P6, also priced at $12 and performed very strongly. What we believe in terms of having a strategy for the calendar and the pricing is to really have a good balance between giving customers more value for the money at the higher price point, but also blending specific times of the year, which are a little bit more value conscious, with promotional deals that offer customers a strong value. So we believe that strategy has worked, is successful, and probably will be something that we continue.
Yeah, Mark, this is John. To kind of take it to a big picture, and the reason why, you know, I own so much of the company is, and believe in what we're doing, is we're just really good at running restaurants, and we're good at building restaurants, and we're good with supply chain logistics from soup to nuts. I mean, Lance runs the office, Bob Smith runs the culture, and we're pretty good marketers. The brand is very strong. I've been back in the building for about 5.5 years, and this is the first time we've ever been in a really, really proactive position with our marketing. Now, we'll have little bumps in the road here and there, but we've got the calendar done through next year. We've never been that proactive, so I compliment Bob and Jim and Melissa and Pat and the whole team, because it's good to be in a proactive position.
Next, I'll just beat on the commissary margin just a little bit more. On the timing there, as you manage that on a full-year basis, is that similar to kind of the old days with BIBP, kind of a overtime rolling 12-month, or are you able to manage that to kind of a fiscal year basis on margin?
Marcus Lance, we do our very best to manage that on a fiscal year basis, so you'll see some variations within the quarters, but generally on a full year, we've done a pretty good job of coming in right about where we said we would. There's a little bit of art. It's not all science, but, you know, by and large, we do a pretty good job with that. I would expect this year, again, you'll see, built into our guidance, you'll see Q3 and Q4 look a little bit better than Q1 and Q2 did from a margin standpoint.
And, Mark, this is John. This is a real easy thing to fix because, again, it's captive. The problem is when you set it for a quarter and you've got runaway prices with pork and beef and green peppers, it hurts the margin. So I think we need to do something to rectify that, because this is not a fundamental issue. This is just an optics issue, and it makes the street a little nervous, and we get that, and we're going to fix it. We'll rectify it.
And last question, just looking at the EPS guidance being maintained here, you know, given where your sales guidance has come up, you know, restaurant and franchise margin, cheese maybe getting a little easier here in your ability to get back some of the margin in the commissary business. You know, can you talk about kind of maybe where you may be conservative on the EPS guidance, or is there enough of the point of sale rollout and extra costs in G&A and other places later in the second half that is maybe impeding earnings growth here in the second half?
Marcus Lance, I'll start, and others can jump in if need be. But what we always try to do is give you a guidance number we believe is realistic. So we've kept it at 164 to 172. We feel like that's realistic. The biggest headwind that we see, to be direct, is a commodity market that will stay high. I mean, through the second half of the year, if the quote-unquote experts are right, and certainly the full-year cheese number right now as of last Friday was 208, which is, a big hit to our P&L given that we do own 20% of our stores. You see beef staying up. You see pork staying up. I won't waste time going through all that. You know that. We just, with where commodities are and with some of the investments we're making, that we think are going to benefit us long term, we just feel like that's the best range for us to be in based on what we know today.
And, Mark, it's Steve. I can't add a whole lot to that. And obviously guidance is a range, and we try to – I think we got good forecasting and good predictability around how we look at the guidance on a full year. With that being said, the last several years we've raised the guidance because of the predictability and the performance of our restaurants. So, third quarter in a row, industry-leading comp sales performance. If you look at the two quarters ahead of us, Q3, the rollovers aren't too bad, but Q4, we got a big mountain to roll over. But there's certainly, if the performance that we've seen the first couple of quarters and the last three would continue, that those are things that would have optimism to it. But I feel like we got our arms around that really well. And in our international segment is the other one, as we had spoken to China and the improvements we continue to drive in that side of the business. These are things that we have optimism in, but again, feel confident, we're within that range.
Mark, specifically on food service, we know we're going to manage that to a full-year number. So that the fact that it was low in the first half, going to be maybe a little better in the second half, doesn't change our overall guidance outlook.
That's fair. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm showing no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over to management for any further remarks.
Candace, thank you, and everybody for being on the call. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next quarter.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may all disconnect. Have a great day, everyone.